Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. I am Alexa Servadidio. I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Tonight's show, I've brought back a guest we had on one of our prior shows, Reverend Danny Garcia. Last time he was on the show, we discussed a lot about God and faith and also the Marine that is actually still being held in a Mexican prison, Marine Andrew Tamarisi, and just about what to do and how life is going and our faith in God. So, Reverend, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Alexa, and thank you, everybody out there, for being a part of us and listening to, you know, whatever God has us to say in the next few moments. Good to talk to you, Alexa.
Thank you. And I know we've been discussing, you know, how to, again, you know, which direction for the show to go in, what we should, you know, what areas we want to cover. And again, what, you know, what you said was so powerful, letting God kind of direct our interview, letting him bring up ideas, thoughts, prayers that can guide us into what needs to be said and what needs to be heard. I know you're also coming up with soon there will be the prayer walk starting in September 11th going to September 21st. And I started to discuss it a little bit and promote about it. But I'd like to hear a lot more from you, what it really entails and how it got started for you.
Well, gosh, that's a really interesting question. So I try not really to plan anything. I learned that when you plan things, you really have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, forget it. You just it's going to be a mess. It's going to fail. It's not going to work. You got to have God in the plan. And on this particular walk that I'm about to do, I had spent about 6 months praying, and I thought it was the end of me walking. I thought it was just the end. You know, I'm 69 years old. I've walked more than 26, almost 27, whatever, 1,000 miles around the world. I've been to 5 continents. I've seen all kinds of people. I've walked, I've talked, I've prayed, I've listened. I was abducted in the Palestinian area by Palestinians and was let go. So I have gone through so much. I've gone through death and life and, you know, death in the sense both spiritually and physically, where I've had close calls. But it was not my time. I was just thinking today that God had been preparing me. I was thinking today, God has been preparing me for all of this. This is like, I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years, and I mean, I had to go to boot camp, and this is, for me, been all, my life has been a preparation for what I'm doing now and what I'm about to do. God has given me understanding. I understand things more now because I don't talk much. I listen first, and I go to him first, and I don't put my trust in man or woman. I put my trust in God. I don't lean on my own understanding. I lean on him, and that brings me to your answering your question is that this started out even in the beginning, walking across the United States by prayer, and here I am now getting ready to walk again across the United States. But first I'm going to do a walk in New York. And that's going to be 5 boroughs, but it's going to start in Long Island first, and then it's going to taper off to the other boroughs, where it's going to be more of a symbolic walk. It's not about how fast you walk. It's not how many miles you walk. It's not about competing with your neighbor or somebody else. It's really about walking with the feet that God has given you and talking to God and talking to him about the things that are going on in your life that you're concerned about, things that you might be even afraid of because you haven't been able to get the answers from human beings. So maybe now, even more so, for me, it's a time to go to the source, my creator, the one who I believe made me, and talk with him and say, Dad, this is what I'm going through. This is what I see, and I can't do anything. I need your help. It could be a family member situation. It could be a war in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. It could be, you know, a divorce. It could be anything. But I want to go to the source, and I want to talk to him about what's going on. I know that he sees and knows everything even before I ask. But I know that I have to go to him first. And I have to thank him, by the way, for all the things that he's gotten me through. And at the same time, seek his face, knock on his door, and ask him, I need your help. And so that's what this walk is pretty much about. It'll be in the five boroughs. It'll be in conjunction, in fact, with the International Day of Peace, which is September the 21st. The countdown for the International Day of Peace is the 11th, which happens to be the time of September the 11th at the World Trade Center. And what happened?
Yes.
It's been interesting that, you know, I'm doing this, and I remember those, you know, I remember I did a walk during that time. I remember that when 9/11 happened, I was in Amman, Jordan, and I was in a taxi. And I remember the taxi cab driver was laughing and screaming with joy. And I said, I couldn't understand him because he was speaking in Arabic. And he said, and I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, there was a bomb, a big bomb in New York. And he was happy about it.
Wow.
And so I ended up at the Sheraton Hotel in Amman, Jordan, and went to the air conference area where there was a television, and I heard the story of what happened at the World Trade Center. And it's kind of like I was, you know, like somebody had hit me in the stomach really hard, and the wind came out of me. I couldn't breathe, and I was hurt. And I was trying to get my composure together so I can continue listening to what was going on. And so I heard the story, and then I came back to New York immediately and then did a walk from the World Trade Center to the Pentagon where in fact, the plane had hit. So, there was, you know, all these things were happening, and all these things are happening today in our life, Alexa, and I'm not afraid. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not afraid for myself. But I am concerned about what I see and how people are afraid.
Yes.
Don't have hope. Don't know what to do. I'm concerned about that. And so
I think people making decisions out of fear and out of you know, not having many options and just doing instant decisions without really being able to, as you said, to sit in silence and to let it come to you and to ask God and sit in prayer rather than making such a quick decision out of fear or desperation.
I like that, what you just said. I like that what you said about what you just said and how it could be applied in the areas where there's wars and conflicts and racial problems. Where is God in this? Where is God? I ask, where is God in our lives? Where do we come to a place where when we see these kind of things, we run to our closet, as he tells us to do, and pray and seek his face? And he says, his word, he gave us his word. He gave us a manual to live by, which is the Holy Bible. But we don't read it. We don't read it. We don't pay attention to it. And if you don't read it, you don't know what to do when these kinds of situations come. And they are going to come. I believe, according to the Bible, that this is only the beginning. It's like when a woman is going through her birth pains. So, you know, when I was talking with you just before we started, I said, you know, and I was thinking about this, and I said, what am I going to say? And God was telling me to say basically this, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, one of the things that I always learned is I had to be ready. I had to be prepared. I couldn't wait till something happened, and then I acted on it, as we sometimes do. We have to be prepared today. We have to be prepared physically, mentally, and spiritually. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be hurting, and we're going to have to depend on somebody else to carry us, somebody who's stronger. And I believe that God has called us today to get ready, spiritually, and to start praying, because I think that's where everything starts, from the spirit.
Yes.
I'm looking
at... And reflection.
Because, okay, so if I am sitting down and I'm listening to God and I don't have any distractions, I don't let distractions or temptation to come, and I'm just listening, I said, okay, God, this is your time. I'm going to listen and listen to what you say. And then when you listen to that, what happens to me is that I usually get confirmation from him that what I am about to do is right on. It's right. And then I have the freedom to do it, that I know that I'm safe, that I know that I'm protected. And it's just like this walk, to do this walk, you know, in all of these boroughs. And you know why New York? Well, yes, the International Day of Peace, but also I'm from New York. I grew up in all of these boroughs. I grew up in Manhattan and Spanish Harlem and the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens. I've lived in those places. I hung out in those places. I was a gang member in those places. I went to school in those places. In fact, I went to a Catholic school when I was a kid for 8 years in Manhattan, the first 8 years of, you know, going to school. I knew, and let me tell you, there was racial problems then because I was a man of color, Hispanic, but a man of color, and when I was living in Harlem, I had to fight in order to stay alive because I was too light when I moved into a Catholic school that was predominantly white, and I was too dark. It's really funny, Alexa. I feel like I've been fighting my whole life.
So what would you say, because I get a lot of questions from listeners, and I actually did an interview with Reverend Deborah Moldau, and I asked, one of the listeners sent in a question saying, you know, in this time, day and age, all these religions are fighting, no one's getting along, you know, one religion's right, one religion's wrong, how do we bring back religious tolerance? How do we, is it okay to say it's okay we have different viewpoints, different ideas, without it being okay, now we're against each other? Because I don't know if it's the media or if it's just people doing it out of fear or desperation or anger, that if you don't agree with me, you're the enemy and you have to destroy them or attack them until they agree with you or until they're gone, instead of just acknowledging, okay, we have different viewpoints, let's move forward and see where we can live together peacefully.
I like what you just said. I like what Deborah said. But you know what? It's already written that these things are going to happen. Let me tell you something. I cannot speak for everybody or anybody else because I was very much into religion. I mean, I tried them all because I was searching for the truth. Uh-huh. I was in the fast lane and I was not going anywhere. I wasn't a happy camper. I needed something that filled the void in my life. I'll be really honest with you. I tried many different religions, but I still had that void. And I'm going to be honest with you in reference to me. I don't know about anybody else. But when I had a life and death experience, and I, after 25 years not going to a church or religion, I screamed, "Jesus, save me," my spirit came back into my body and I had life because I was on my way out and I knew it. And I knew that if I died, I was going to hell. I knew it. I just knew it. And you may hear many stories of certain people that have had life and death experiences. Well, this is another one. But when that spirit came into my body, it changed my whole life. I was never the same person. The word says that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone that calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Well, I called upon his name, and I didn't even know, and that I even did it, and I was saved. At that moment, I knew it, and my spirit jumped into my body, and I was alive, and then they took me to the hospital. They rushed me to paramedics, and for a year I was a vegetable and went through that whole thing and experienced a miraculous healing of people laying hands on me. You know, when we go through something, when you go through something, Alexa, you know. And in reference to what you were talking about, is God a religion? He's a spirit. I think that man has a tendency to create things, man does, and then when he doesn't get what he wants, he blames God. God is a spirit, and the Bible says that he wants to be worshipped in the spirit. All right, so how do we live? How do we function? I mean, if it's not working in the churches, what are the churches supposed to be doing? Well, what I believe is that I have to go to God first to direct me, that I do go to a church, that I go to a place where I can be fed spiritually. Now, Alexa, you have to be fed physically, otherwise you don't live. But if you're not fed spiritually, how can you live spiritually? And I think that I need, in order for me to do what I'm doing in this walk and to have strength, because I'm weak, I can't do it. How can you walk 50 miles a day every day for 3 months? How can you walk across the United States and around the world and to do it without any money, because I don't ask for money? I am not a television evangelist. I am not running for office. I do not wish to be a millionaire. All I wish to do myself is to serve God in spirit and to praise Him and thank Him and to make my request known of whatever I need. And He answers my prayers. He's real. He's more real than I see people. I have learned through the Holy Spirit, through the process of doing things, to learn about God. See, we know about everything else, but we don't know God. And we don't know God because we don't spend any time trying to listen to God, who created us and made us perfect in His image. We've forgotten Him. When I walked around the world, I asked God, what do you want me to do? Come back to me. Come back to your first love. Get in touch with me. Let's have a relationship. Let's get to know each other. I made you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. And so wow. I'm learning, Alexa. You know, I'm 69. I've seen a lot. I've been in law enforcement. I've been in the Marines. I've been in a ministry. I've worked for Shell Oil Company and was part of the production of the logo that you see that's all over. I've had many mentors. I've always been given favor. God has always taken care of me. He has always protected me. But after all of that, He said, now it's time for you and I to have a relationship, not about religion, but about Him and His Spirit and His love. See, when you love somebody, it doesn't make a difference what anybody is or how they look or what they say. God, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to hang with you. I want to learn about you. I want to walk with you. So when I walk with God. And sometimes I've had 20,000 people walk with me in Iraq. They came from both sides of the road. My escort people that were with me thought they were going to kill me. They ended up singing to me. Somebody asked me a question, how do you speak all these languages and go to all of these countries? I don't have to speak all of those languages. I speak the primary language, which is the language of love, which is the language of loving that person unconditionally, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they do. I still love them. I still forgive them because He forgave me. He forgave me of all my sins. He forgave me of doing so many things that were wrong. I was a bad man. I was an ugly man. You see my website, and I have people see it, and they say, gosh, you're so great. You've met so many people, and you've done this, and you've helped so many people. Yes. I've done it now, but before that, I was lost. I was lost, and I was hurting, and I was killing people because there was a, I was hurt inside, and I didn't know how to heal, and I didn't go to the healer. I pray with people, and people have been healed of cancer and other things, but I'm not the healer. He's the healer. I'm just a vehicle that he uses to pray with people so that he can touch them.
And it's amazing, just as you were.
God willing, if it's his will, I'll do this walk by faith. By faith. I'm not doing this with any money. I'm doing it by faith. I'm just taking one step at a time and going by faith and trusting in him and knowing that he'll provide everything I need, that he will provide everything I need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will provide everything I need. And so I'll be able to do this walk as I've done other walks, and it'll even be better. I want to invite everybody to walk. I want to invite everybody to pray. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what color you are. I think we need to come together. And once we come
and you
together,
brought up a really important point that I was thinking through this. You know, in my private practice and also when I work with clients at the clinic, a lot of times I get, you know, why would God let this happen? You know, what is, you know, what, there's no reasoning with these horrific, you know, events and this all this trauma I've had in my life. Why should I believe in him? Why should I, you know, and it's like as you said that you were going through so many trials, and sometimes it lasts for many, many years. And they said, you know, a lot of times they ask, why does it last? What is the reasoning? And I've said before, you know, it's of God's understanding. It's not of, you know, a human understanding, and that it's hard to figure it out. But what would you say to that? Because some people feel like sometimes they're punished or they're doomed or this is their plight in life, and they don't reach out for assistance.
Well, I believe that there is God, and he is good, and I believe that there is a devil and his demons, and he is bad, and it goes all the way back to the beginning of time when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. That's what I believe. And I believe that there is sin, there is original sin, and there is, and I think, and I believe that also that there is, that we have been given free will, and we choose, and sometimes we make the wrong choices, sometimes we make choices that hurt us, but sometimes those choices that we make that are wrong, that we've hurt other people, become a blessing. I mean, you know, I look back on my life now, and I see all those bad things, and it took a long time for me to get rid of guilt. G-U-I-L-T, big word. It's a killer.
Oh, it's huge. It is. I've seen so many people relapse or go into toxic relationships because of guilt.
I've seen people commit suicide or try to commit suicide. I mean, and I was in, I was somewhere in Geneva in a school with 3,000 kids, and I was telling children how much, these high school kids, how much I loved them and how much I enjoyed being here with them. And they were asking questions, how many shoes do you wear? And all of a sudden, two girls ran up to me and they whispered in my ears in tears. They said, we were going to commit suicide today. But because you loved us and you told us that, we're not going to do that. I mean, that was a big wake-up call for me. So I go through a lot of wake-up calls in what I do. And you know what? I'm not perfect, and I don't know everything. So I have to go to the person that I think that knows everything, and that's God. And however I go to him in my own way, that's my way. And I don't try to control anybody or change anybody, do whatever we want to do, because we have free will. I'm just sharing what I go through, what's happened to me, how it's changed my life. And when I started walking across the United States, I only had $28 in my pocket. Alexa, can you tell me, how does a man walk around the world without any money? And where do you stay? Where do you live? How do you eat? But you know that God provided me every step of the way and opened the doors and touched people's lives. Why? Because I love him, because he chose me. He took the worst. He took the one that was unlikely to do anything positive. He took me, he took me out of the dirt, out of the mud, and he washed me. And he said, I forgive you, and I love you. And I died for you. I gave my life for you. Now, you know, guilt was gone. Condemnation was gone. Judgment was gone. Confusion was gone. all of those little demons that really are the ones that come when there is a spirit of fear that we have, that we are being controlled by. The spirit of fear is the mm-hmm. strong man. He is the one that binds you and controls you and holds you and ties you, and so that the other spirits can come in like confusion and doubt and unbelief and all these things. But when we rebuke those things, when we say, I am not going to accept that because I know that God loves me and God is good, when we turn our back to that evil, to those spirits, and we face that which is love, and love's, and the Bible says love is God and love conquers all. When we say that when we face that in that direction, well, then our whole life changes. You know, my son is 45 years old. I haven't talked to him in 12 years. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to, but it just never happened. He wasn't ready. I just wasn't the timing. He was going through his own growing, and I was walking around the world, and he called me as a result of a tragedy that was happening in his life, that he was in the process of, his wife was going to get, he was going to leave him, was involved in other relationships or whatever, I don't know, in a relationship. And the bottom line, he calls me and he says, Dad, I need your help. I was a little bit surprised because I hadn't talked to him in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I had been praying for all those years, all those days, that one day we would connect, that God would connect us, and he connected us. And I was there for my son, and I loved him, and I encouraged him, and I prayed for him, and I prayed for his wife. And within a short time, and I'm talking about maybe weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, his whole life had changed, and she had changed. And she said, I don't want that. I want you. I want you, meaning you wanted my son.
Wow.
And now they're together again, and now it's better than ever. But that was a close call. And God used that situation to be a blessing, to unite my son and I and my grandson, who I've never seen, who I love so much.
So there's a positive within the negative, and not giving up hope and not giving in that this is, it's nothing good's ever going to happen, and having faith of through all those years and just knowing that God will bring something through.
Alexa, it's so true what you just said. And you know what, Alexa, I want to say to the people out there that are listening, don't quit. Don't quit. When I was in the Marines and I had to run or walk 20 miles with a 50-pound pack, man, there was times that I wanted to quit. When I had a drill instructor put his face in my face and hit me in my stomach, oh, I wanted to get back. When I've done the things that I've done, when I've walked 50 miles and my legs, my toenails, the nails was falling off. I had to pull it off and it hurt. When I went through rejection and persecution and all those things, let me tell you the truth, sister. There's times that I really, really, really want to quit. And I ask God, why am I doing this? When I walked through France and it was snowing and my snow was up to my kneecaps and I had a 50-pound pack on my back and I fell on my face and there was nobody there to help me, and I said, God, why am I doing this? And I heard a voice, and the voice said, get up and walk. Because you're walking for me. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying to the people out there who are listening to this is, don't quit. Because your miracle, the answer to your prayer, is right there. You don't quit. Hang on. Hang on to him. Let go of yourself. Let go of trying to be in control of situations and people's lives. Let go. I'll tell you what, it is so refreshing to let go. You feel so healthy and so...
It's such a release. And it's the most amazing thing just happened. And it's like, I didn't even think about this, you know, as what we were going to speak about on the show. And what we just spoke about reminds me of something that happened, a miracle that happened to me yesterday. I was coming home from work, and when I turn onto the highway, it's a horrible, horrible intersection. I have to go across left lanes, and there's no lights, and people always run, and it's really pretty dangerous. And in the morning, there's a wait. When I go, there's usually a homeless man. walking up and down, and he comes up and says hi, and I give him a dollar or two, and he says, "May God bless you," and I say, "Well, God bless you, how's your day?" And I was coming home yesterday, getting on the highway, and he's never there, going on the entrance, going home, and I saw him out of the corner of my eye, so I started, you know, reaching, looking for some money, and all these cars are beeping, and everybody's yelling, and he didn't recognize, he didn't realize it was me, and I had my head down, so people probably thought I was texting on the phone or something. And he's like, "Come on, come on, you missed the light, you missed the light." And I looked up, and I gave him some money, and he said, "Wow, I really need to have God in control and let him control, because I was so busy trying to rush you that I just almost missed my blessing. God needs to be in control so I get my blessings. Thank you for teaching me that today. God bless you." And it was just, I mean, this is from a homeless man who, I don't even know his story, that lives on the streets. And he said, "I really have to have God be in control because I'm missing my blessings by trying to do it myself."
Amazing, huh? Amazing. But
it just made me think of it.
Yeah, well, you were listening. You see, you listen, Alexa, I speak to you periodically, and every time I'm talking to you, you listen. If you don't listen, how are you going to know? I have to listen, too. I have to listen to other people. I have to listen to God. And then I have to be able to make the right choices. And how I do that many times is also by seeking godly counsel. There's a scripture that when I first ran into it, when I first came to the Lord, it said, God spoke to me. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." When you're in prison, you can't get out. So somebody has to come. Well, God has called me to do that, and to do that prayerfully. He also says in Ephesians 6:13 that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual warfare. We're fighting against the devil and the onslaught of all of his demons. And so we have to know how to fight. That's why I emphasize being ready to fight physically, to fight not just physically, but, you know, I'm not talking about fighting physically, because that doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work.
Not violent.
Look at the wars and the rumors of wars that we've had. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," humble, humility, elimination of pride, "if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." You know what that means? We got to change. We got to change. Everybody, I got to change. I want to be a better person. I got to change. Yes. I'm a sinner. And it's only by his grace that I'm saved. Alexa, I want to give so much. I know that I'm only here for a time. I'm 69. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long I have. But these days that I have, these minutes that I have, I want it to be fruitful. I want it to be plentiful. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be healthy, not only for myself, but mostly for others. I've done it all. I've done a lot of things. I've made a lot of mistakes. But I want to do what's right. I pray for those mm-hmm. soldiers who are in those countries. They're dealing with so many different issues. And then they come back, PTSD, like Sergeant Tamarini. I had to walk for him. He's my brother. I had to walk for him. I couldn't leave him behind. I had to get out of myself. And I had to go, and I had to help him however I could. And I knew that the most important way that I could help him is to pray for him and to let him know that I'm there for you, that I love you, that I care for you, and that I'm willing to put my life on the line for you. And that's what I do when I walk. I'm putting my life on the line for all these people that are listening right now because I love you. Because God gave me that love, to love you. I don't have to see you. I know that you are. I know that you have needs. I know that you're hurting. I know that you want to get well. And I pray right now that God will heal you. That right where you're at, that God will touch your soul, will touch your body and heal you in his name. I pray that. I pray, and you know, Alexa, I shared with you that God's going to open up the doors of heaven for you. I told you that. God's going to open things in a mighty way, yes, in a big way. God's going to use you in a big way to do great things. And you've already seen the signs,
yes,
of that. I don't,
yes,
know you.
It's been
only
just
seen you once. But God spoke to me, and he told me to tell you, get ready, because God's going to use you in a mighty way. Why? Because he loves you, yes, because you're open, because you're ready to follow him. You're ready to walk with him. You're ready to listen to him. You're ready to be obedient. And sometimes you have to go against the grain. Sometimes you have to go against what everybody else says in order to do what God is telling you. And God will, he will provide for you. He will take care of the situation. He will be on your side. You can have a million people against you, and you have God, and you win. I've done it. How does,
yes,
you know, I've walked through 3 million people in Puebla, Mexico, to see the Pope, Pope John Paul, and they parted like the Red Sea. And I walked in and presented him a mural that I had for him. As a result of that walk, I had the opportunity to meet with him 3 other times, and he helped me to make a presentation at the United Nations during the International Year of the Child. I, you know, my life is crazy. I, you know, it's like I was telling my wife, I said, my wife is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and she's a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and, you know, and all of this, and she's my companion, she's my helpmate. And I told her this morning, I said, you know, I'm in this world, but I don't feel like I'm of this world. I feel like an alien. I feel like God has just dropped me here to go through all of these things, to do what I'm doing, and to prepare the people, because he's coming. He's coming soon. I don't know what date. I don't know what month. I don't know what year. It's not important. What is important is that I am like Paul Revere, and I'm alerting the people, get ready. Get your life ready. If you've been doing things that are wrong, that you know that are wrong, and you know that are wrong, you're not setting the right example, then stop it. Stop it. If you can't ask God to help you to stop it. This walk is not just a walk in New York City, but it's a walk from there, from New York City, on September the 22nd to California. I'm not going to,
yes,
walk.
Yes, I actually have your path written down that you gave me. Whew.
I've already walked all of the way twice, San Francisco to New York and L.A. to New York. I've done that already, you know. And people say, gosh, you're the real Forrest Gump. And I said, no. Just Danny. And so, yeah, I'm going to do this walk, but I'm going to drive and walk. I'm going to walk in every state that God has given me to walk in. I'm going to pray for everybody and every... And we're asking, in fact, as you know, Alexa, for people to write in or send or get us your prayer requests. I don't need your names. I would prefer not to have your names. Just write something of what is your need. What are you,
yes,
praying for?
And I already have two prayer requests that were sent in.
So I'm asking, and we're asking everybody to send your prayer requests in to Alexa, and what do you want us to pray for? We'll take that with us as we walk across, you know, New York, but also as we walk across the United States, we'll collect prayers and we'll pray for people, because that's what God told me to do. He said, I want you to pray for people. And it's free. It doesn't cost any money.
Yeah, and no strings attached. That's what people say, oh, what's the catch? There's no catch. It's just prayer. We're not asking. No. Everyone's like, come on. I said, no. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to. We don't even need your name. Just, that's it. Just pray and be at peace. If you want to even pray at your house and do it by yourself, do that. You don't even have to be involved if you don't want to, but just to take a moment of silence, a moment of prayer and reflection, and even pray for somebody else.
Well, he says, and even pray for your enemies. We have,
yes,
enemies out here. We have enemies in other countries. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. And watch what happens, how he turns things around. We haven't done that. You know, we've gone to our leaders, our congressmen, our senators, and president, and We're demanding things from them. And, you know, they're just human beings just like we are. They have limitations. God doesn't have any limitations. His door is open 24/7. He's always waiting for us to talk to him and say, hey, you know what, I'm going through this. I really need some help. Can you help me? I know I'm not perfect. I may not even be willing to change, but can you help me? Watch and see what happens.
When you told me a while back about praying for the enemy, I have been doing that, you know, from different things that are going on and praying for people. And the release and the almost kind of comfort and peace that I feel afterwards, you know, if there's like a tough situation or, you know, we're all human. We get nervous about things. We get upset about things. And you start praying. And I know, you know what, this is not in my hands. This is in God's hands. I'm going to take a step back and just whatever happens, happens. And the faith of that I will come out okay is, words can't even describe how it feels and what it has done for me.
Well, he did that right to when he was on the cross. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And, you know, I'm not trying to write a book. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. I'm just trying to follow him. The word says to be an imitator of Christ. That's what I'm doing. I don't want to judge anybody. That's his job. I look at myself. I have to look at myself in the mirror, and I have to examine myself, and I say, okay, where am I off? What am I doing wrong? Well, how do I need to change? Help me, Lord. Change me to the person that you want me to be. I get people that call me school kids. I don't know what to do for education. I don't know what to do. Did you pray about it? Have you talked to God? He said, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, I had to do all, you know, I spent many years before I came to Christ. Maybe I was in my 30s. And it wasn't until my 50s, really, that I was really in ministry. So I'm just a baby, and I'm just learning. But I'm learning with him, and he's teaching me. And I find that the world is my classroom. I feel like I'm in a classroom in this world. And I'm learning from him, but I'm also learning from you, from all of you out there. And I welcome and I need your prayers so much, because it's not easy to walk this walk. And sometimes you feel very alone. You know you're not alone, but you feel lonely. Even if you're in a, you know, I'll speak to thousands of people that have gathered for prayer after walking 50 miles. And I'm tired. And I go to my room. And there's nobody there. There's only me there except him. And so I embrace myself. I allow him to embrace me, and I allow him to hold me, and I allow him, I fall into his arms, and I allow him to heal me, and I allow him to restore me, and I allow him, so that I can walk tomorrow another 50 miles if I have to do that. I intend, the idea is to walk, yes, through New York and all the boroughs. I have churches and pastors that have already offered and media, and we have things that are going on to invite people. And there's issues like the Ebola crisis, which we're going to be praying about, and helping people, because there's people dying, and I've been to Africa, and they're dying. They don't have... I was thinking about just now, Mr. Foley.
Oh, yeah. The journalist. Oh.
My heart just sank. I love him. I didn't say I loved him. I said I love him. He paid a price. He didn't quit. Even at the end, he didn't quit. He's kept going on, and that's the kind of example that we need today, not to quit, not to be afraid. We need to be strong, even when it's the end, because it's not going to be the end. And I pray for his family. I'm sorry. I just want to cry. But I want to cry with joy because, gosh, he's such a blessing. God allowed to use him as a blessing, allowed this to happen so that we can change, so we can be strong. There's a lot of people that are out there giving their lives, and we don't even see it. We don't even care. Our hearts have become so hardened.
Yes, I've seen
God
it so
is
much.
Saying, come on, he's saying, come on, give me a heart. I want to heal you. I want to restore you. I want to build you. I want to change you. Trust me. And I think about Sergeant Camerini and his mom, who I met his mom the third time I went to California and Tijuana. I met her, Jill. And she's just a strong woman of the Lord. She loves the Lord, and she trusts the Lord. And she's gone through a lot, and he's gone through a lot. But I believe they're going to all be stronger when this is over with. And I believe that God has a plan for his life and for their life, and it's going to be good. And sometimes we have to go through some difficult times, and we don't see the light. We see that far away, maybe the light is at the end of the tunnel. We don't see it, and we don't think we can get there. But it's not we that are going to get there. God's going to bring us through there.
And to know that it's there. And I think that so many times people get stuck in such horrible pain. And I know it's not easy. I'm not saying what we're saying is easy. It's saying it's part of the struggle. It's part of moving forward and just to keep with it. And I know it's hard, and you're allowed to be angry, and you're allowed to be sad, but I think it's not letting it paralyze you or let it make you make decisions out of anger, out of hate, and to really be able to say, okay, yes, maybe it's not fair. Maybe there's no reason for why these horrible things happen. But just to say, you know what, so sometimes it's so easy to fall into the anger and the hate and the resentment and the bitterness and to become jaded, than to kind of step out and say, you know what, I'm just going to, yes, I can be upset, but I've got to believe there's a light at the end of the tunnel, even though if I don't believe it right now, but I have to keep moving forward and just to keep, pounding the pavement and doing what you have to do.
In order for me, Alexa, to have received my healing and or healings that I have received from God, I had to forgive. That was the hardest thing for me to do. But even more so than that, of forgiving others, gosh, Alexa, I had to forgive myself. That was the hardest thing I could ever do, because I felt so bad for so long. How could God forgive me? But he did. And when he did that, he set me free. Now, I've already walked around the world, 5 continents, but the vision, and I thought it was over with, but God had another plan, but the vision that I see, if this is what he wants me to do, is to do that walk through New York, touch the people, be there for them, love them, care for them, listen to their cries, pray with them, feel. People are afraid to feel. People are afraid today to touch other people because they look sick or they dirty or they this or that or they're rich or they're... There's so many issues, but he's told me, go out there to all the nations and touch them. So I'm going to start in Manhattan, and then I go on across the United States, and then around the world. And I already have certain countries that I'd like to walk in. Yes, I want to walk in Iran. Yes, I want to walk in India. Yes, I want to walk in Pakistan. But Reverend, aren't you afraid? You can't walk by faith and fear at the same time. You got to choose one or the other. But if God wants me to do that, and if that's his will, I'm not going there to judge anybody. I'm not going there to condemn anybody. I'm going there to love them. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, that love is patient. We have to be patient with other people. Sometimes we're in relationships and we want to run and quit and get away from it, but God says love is patient. Love is kind. You got to be nice to the other person. Even when the other person is not nice to you, you have to be kind to them. Love suffers long. That means that, hey, you might as well, you're here, we're going to experience some difficulties. We're going to experience some pain. It's part of growing up. It's part of being here.
And it's interesting. So many times, I've had people come up to me, put them first. And to, I think what you were saying about unconditional love and being kind is, so many times people will say, oh, you know, you're just too nice. You always see the good in everyone. Why do you always see the good in everyone? You know, someone's going to take advantage of you. You know, you're too patient. You're too kind. You need to be doing stuff for yourself. And I look at people and I said, helping other people is the most rewarding thing. And who are we to judge that this person can't be saved or that this person doesn't have any future, any hope? We're not here to judge. We don't know the final outcome. And I think so many people are so quick to jump to, no, that person's not good. They're never going to make it. Instead of just taking a step back and praying for that person, or, you know, even giving them a sign of encouragement, which I've seen with clients and in my personal life, people have moved mountains and you see them 6 months later and you're like, oh my God, and they come back to you 10 years later and said, I remember you said one word to me and that was a turning point and a changing time in my life where I gave hope. Like as those two young students said, we were going to kill ourselves today. And I think that's how, people don't understand how powerful their words are and their thoughts and their actions and their prayers. And to be kind is something that needs to be done and to be patient.
Yeah, it's not anymore enough just to talk it because they've already heard, you know, they've already heard all the talk, especially our youth. Show me. So we have to live it. And when we come to a point, I find for myself, when I can't, then I give them to God because I know He can. And He does because He's faithful. And the Bible says He leaves the 99 to go after the one. I was the one. He left the 99, those who were already saved, those who were already in church. He came after me personally, and He got me. And let me tell you something, I was a hard fish because I was into drugs, I was into women, I was into, you know, you name it. I was doing everything. And I used to do concerts, so it was a natural to have cocaine and other drugs to be part of the party, but He changed me from inside. This is where we have to change. He changed me from my soul, from my spirit. He changed me, and He made me a new person. I am not the same person I was when I was a young man growing up in New York or in the Marines. I'm not the same person. I'm also now an honorary chaplain with the Marine Corps League here in Virginia. And
oh, great.
I see so much that there's not enough time in the day to be able to reach, to be able to give everyone what they want. They're so hungry in the VA hospitals. They're hungry. If you see them with no arms and no legs, and they're 18 years old, and they have a whole other life. I'm humbled. I have to get down on my knees and I have to thank God that I have what I have, but also thank them for them, that they're serving their country.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys go back, you know, 4, 5, 6 times, and they continue to serve. And God bless them. And God bless America.
Yeah.
God bless America. You know, America was founded by our fathers, for our forefathers. This is a place of God. This is a place of prayer. And you know what? We've changed that. We rebelled against God. We said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to take prayer out of the schools. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So God steps back. He steps back. I could see him. He steps back and he says, okay, do it your way. So all the things that we are receiving right now, all the pain, all the difficulties, all the things that are going on in the schools and the murders and the shootings and going on in the school, I believe that there is a reason for that. I don't believe it's a coincidence. I don't believe it's just a man who ran in there with an automatic weapon and started shooting kids up. I don't believe that. I was at the Omaha City bombing. I was there. I walked there. I walked to Virginia Tech when they had the shooting. I was there. I was there in that after it had happened, I walked there to pray. Come on. Come on. This is what's happening, guys. There are things that are going on in our world today. And you know what? We got to wake up. Everybody, we got to wake up. We got to turn the light on so we can see. This is serious business. This is about our life. This is about our kids. This is about the future of America, the future of our world. We're a great nation. We help so many people. We give so much. I see it out there. We're givers. But there's some areas of our lives, including our leaders, that we got to change. We got to change. We got to take those areas of our life that maybe we picked up something along the way that we really need to get rid of.
Yes.
I'm not looking for a politician. I'm looking for God. I'm not looking for a politician. I'm looking for a politician who believes in God, who prays. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I don't even understand the word politician. These people are representatives of us. We put them in office to be able to lead us. But if you don't have respect for that person, how can that person
that's
have respect for himself?
Yes.
And that's
and
what
before
I see.
The show, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say before the show ends, I wanted to let our listeners know that they can check out the Facebook page Global Walk to find the updates, and also that it'll be on my Facebook page, Insight into Healing, and I'll have all the information of the dates and the times and the places where you will be walking from September 11th to September 21st, and then on to September 22nd, on across from New Jersey, Philadelphia, Arizona, all those states ending up in California, so they can kind of follow your walk.
Thank you, Alexa. Thanks for letting people know that. I really want to ask people to, can we just say a prayer before we close?
Yes.
I don't think that a national day of prayer is enough. I think we should have a national day of prayer every day. That's what I think that God is telling me. We need to pray. The word says that we need to pray without ceasing, without stopping. Pray all the time. So, Father, I just come before you now in your precious name, Lord, in the name that is above every name. I pray, Lord, and I ask now for a special blessing for everyone that's listening. I don't care what religion, I don't care who they are, what they believe or what they don't believe. Lord, I just pray for them. And I just pray that you would pour your love and your blessing upon them and help them, Lord, in wherever they're at and whatever their need is. I'm asking you, Lord, and I'm asking you in your name, Lord, in the name that I know you as, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you in that name. I'm just, Lord, bless them. I know you love them. I know you love us. I know you love Alexa. I just pray for her, and I pray for what she's doing, that she can touch, be used to touch many people through you. I love you, and God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Good night, and God bless.